welcome to Baling, Scanning and Barbecue. My name is Lawson Watt, and I'm a former hunting and fishing guide. Join me on the live stream and podcast every Thursday night. I interview guests from all over Australia and the world. Join me on my YouTube channel as I bring you highs and lows of the adventures I do with my mates and myself. And don't forget to check it out and subscribe. Thanks, guys. G'day and welcome to another episode of BSB Podcast. Today I've got Josh Wilcox from Hunting Dogs Australia. So if you haven't checked out the Instagram page or the Facebook page recently, Josh is got it going. So Josh is up in Northern Australia. Let him tell you all about that. And he's a gun pig hunter. I've followed Josh on Instagram for a long, long time, and I love it. It's recently see some big hogs there, and he had a good trip over the last couple of days. I believe he's off at the moment. So, I'm going to bring the man in himself, and we'll get the ball rolling. I apologize. It's a Wednesday night. I'm going hunting tomorrow, so I wasn't going to do this, and we had to try and sort out dates and things and everything, so it was all a bit of a shambles, but we end up working it out, and, let's get you on. Okay, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Just mixing up the rum, actually.
lucky you. How you been, mate?
Yeah, right. Busy. Fucking flat out.
Yeah, I've gathered that with you. It's one day I get a message, and the next day you won't read it, or you'll just be a couple of days in it. You're just so busy. So
I'm everywhere, mate.
Use it.
I don't know what I'm doing to the last millisecond.
That's all right, mate. Tell us a bit about yourself. We'll get into HDA after. But tell us a bit about your personal side. Whereabouts you're located, if you've got any family and stuff, we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'm Townsville. Moved here for a few years ago now, probably 7 years ago now. I'm from down New South Wales, Orange, New South Wales. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm from down the cold country. Yeah, so big change.
How did you handle the move from Orange, freezing your nuts off, to...
I moved to Brisbane, just west of Brizzy on a few acres there. I lived there for a while. I was working in Brizzy. I'm a chippy by trade, so I was in and out of Brizzy and that. I just got fucking sick of driving and all that shit, so I headed up here. So, yeah, headed to the north, mate. It's always better at the top.
Absolutely. I struggle in Brisbane. I will admit I'm not a fan of it. If I didn't have my girls here, my kids, I'd be long gone. Had a bit of a stint back up north for a year or so ago, but I try and fly up and see my brother or the old boy as much as I possibly can. So So what do you do now for work, mate?
I finished my chippy apprenticeship when I was only young. I got fucking pretty much. Well, I wasn't allowed to go back to school, so I started it pretty early. So I did that for a couple of years and contracted to me uncle, and then I hit the mines in Orange there and started moving up the ranks there. And then once I moved back to Brizzy, I got back on the tools and stuff, and it was fucked too because I had a real good mob of dogs in Orange, and all shit went pear-shaped, and I had to pretty much sell everything and get rid of everything. And so, and that was my biggest fear, is getting rid of my dogs, you know what I mean? And, I ended up getting rid of a couple, and, a couple of real handy dogs, and I moved up there. So I pretty much had to start all again when I got up there. And, it was all right. I ended up getting a couple of dogs, and I got an older dog off another fellow I know, and to train a younger dog I had. And then, I was hunting out around Texas and Gundy and all that. A bit of a drive, but I was doing it nearly every weekend when I was living down there. I was driving out every weekend. So, But it was all right. It wasn't too bad.
And what about family, mate? How you got a wife and kids, or
yeah, mate, spot? Yeah, I've got a wife and kids. And I went back to the mines, like I was sick of being chippy down there, so I got another mine job and it was FIFO, so I was like, fuck, I'm gonna move up. I had a few mates that lived up here, so I was like, fuck, I'm gonna move up there. And I moved up here and you know, things started rolling, going good, and I met my wife to be, and
yep.
Yeah. That's pretty much all she wrote. She's a yeah.
And now you got a nice young little daughter there, and
yeah, she's just over two now. She's wild. She's wild.
That's gone quick. I remember when you put some photos up when she was born. I was like, she's two already. It's a bit
she loves the dogs. Like loves the dogs. Loves going hunting. Loves going fishing. Like she loves all that stuff. So
there's some pictures of her in amongst us. I apologise. This is probably not as well put together. I do two nights of night shift, and then I basically go into a day shift kind of procedure, and I normally have a day where I can do this and spend some time on it, but I didn't really get that this time. It's, we kind of snuck it up on me. So, mate, I've got a lot of questions for you, so we'll start ticking off a list. We'll go with the first one. Where are we? Okay. So how did you get into hunting, mate? Who started the process for you? How did that all start for you?
It was in my family. It's generation after generation. Not pig hunting, but my family was well known in Orange and all around that area for foxes and rabbits and all that type of stuff back home. I remember when I was only a little kid walking the paddocks with my pop whistling foxes, and and they used to breed Jack Russells back then, my pop and my father and all that type of stuff. And they used to make a lot of money. That was their crust, you know, back in the day. It was hunting was their job, you know what I mean? I wish I could do that now, but you know, it'd be lovely. But that was actually their crust back then. Like even like rabbit skins, they used to get that, like rabbit skins, and they used to bale the rabbit skins back then in big bales, and they'd send them away. Yeah, they used to send them away to be processed and sent out to like clothes makers and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And like kangaroo rugs and all that. There used to be a lot of money in all that type of stuff. And
especially
fox skins and stuff. But me love for dogs and stuff started when I got my own little Jack Russell. My old man gave me a little Jack Russell, and I'd go down because we lived on property, and I'd take him down, take a couple of them down, Chubbs and Jacko, and I'd put them down the holes, and you just sit there, wait. I was only probably, I would have only been 8 to 9 years old. You'd just be sitting there with the single one-shot barrel shotgun waiting for the fox to come out. You'd feel them under your feet punching on.
Yeah.
And you'd wait for that fox to come flying out. You'd give him a few pellets, boom, away you'd go.
I've never seen that done. I've seen it on film, but I've never been there in person. It'd be
it's awesome.
It'd be something cool to watch. We've had Jack Russells in the past, and you know they're crazy as hell. They take on 100-kilo pig, and it's always good.
Yeah,
to watch.
You can actually feel it. Like you can feel it under your feet, and you can sort of hear it like under your feet, like because you're standing on top of the burrow, like watching where they're going to shoot out to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can actually feel it under your feet, like punching on down there.
So what led you into pig hunting from there? You've gone from the rabbits and the foxes to the hogs and
And I got a little dog. It was I would have only been 9 or 10 or something. It was a little long-legged Jack Russell cross Staffy or something. It was a giveaway dog, and I said, "Hey, Dad, let us take that, eh?" And I'll walk the hills at home. I used to walk the hills with the old pullback Lithgow. Shot pullback button at the back, for the pin. I used to walk the hills back home with the old single shot 22 Lithgow. That was my first dog, and it caught everything. It would catch everything. Like it was keenest dog I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I ended up taking it out. Me and my old man out getting it onto a pig. And I was, from that moment, I was like, fuck, you know, this is awesome. This is good, hey? Like, this is good. Yeah. And Dad's like, oh, yeah, I'll take you out. We'll go for a hunt, you know. He had an old two-wheel bike. I was only a kid. Old two-wheel bike. We used to hunt all through Louth, Warren, everywhere like that. And the old man used to hunt it off a two-wheeler with a milk crate on the front. He used to have his little, pretty much like the little blue dogs I've got now. He used to own one of, like, same sort of breed.
Yep.
And he used to take me out there hunting on the two-wheeler all through the marshes and all that. He used to have blocks all around the marshes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of what got me into pig hunting, you know what I mean? And then I ended up getting my own dogs up, and then just went from there pretty much, yeah.
So, mate, leading to the next question, you probably already answered it, but do you have any key mentors in that aspect?
Oh yeah, just my family name, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. So no one else took you out other than the old boy getting you.
Back in the day, I'll give a couple of shout outs here. Back in the day, who guided me along was my cousin Jacko.
Yep.
And probably Chris Barrett and Kim McNabb. They showed me the ropes. They were a lot older than me, but I just used to tag along, you know, when I used to have my own dogs and used to tag along with them. And yeah, no, it was good.
Awesome. Good stuff, mate. I'll keep mailing out these questions. We've got quite a fair bit. So
yeah, you are.
I started putting out questions on Instagram, and sometimes I regret it and sometimes I don't. It's just sometimes you get a lot of questions. So, mate, when you got to Townsville, how did the process start? So, you've been up there 7 years, and just by looking at some of these pictures, you've got some serious hogs going.
Yeah,
you got some big hooky boars, So when you, how long did that process start up in Townsville? Did you have mates up there with blocks ready to go, or did you just
We did a lot of golf hunting and stuff like that. Then I started getting my own blocks, and I just from there, I just, started doing my own thing, and just trying to get as many numbers into the dogs and that as I could. I still had three proper handy dogs. Like, I still had my old bitch, Nala, and I had Addie and Ruger. Ruger was only young. Well, she was probably two, maybe. Yeah, nah, she would have been like nearly two when I moved here. But I had a pretty good pack before I even moved here, you know what I mean? Like, from the work I put into them down west of Brizzy and that. But it sort of made it easy for me when I moved up here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they sort of went from wearing neck collars every hunt to wearing plates every hunt, because they went from, you know, you went from them good 70, you know, 70, 75, 80 kilo boars to fucking 110 kilo boars, just thrashing machines, you know, full of green grass, just gives them that poke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was all right. And then I got a few more blocks. So yeah, I pretty much do my own thing. I take the odd fella that I really, really trust, like a couple of good mates, like that fella there, old Gussie boy, he's a good lad.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't have time for fucking shit people, you know what I mean? I've been through it all. I've seen it all. I've had it unfold underneath my own blanket, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's no real time for that type of stuff. But nah, in saying that as well, I like being out there on my own. I got enough dogs that I can be out there on my own, you know what I mean? Yeah. But
it's definitely it's a nice feeling when you're out there on your own. It's, you know, you kind of takes the stress away. You got no one else to depend on, which is always a good thing. And
that's it.
I've got a couple of people here commenting, so I'll not to distract you, I'll stick them up as we go along. So I'm not trying to distract you. Just got a few people here commenting. Questions, I'll read them out. If they're not, I'll just let you read them and get your smile on. So all right. I've got a question here from, this is a Instagrammer. I shouldn't say Instagrammer. I should just say a guy from Instagram, Hard Hands Australia. Out of all the working breeds over the years you have used, what's the best all-round dog?
Bull Arab. Nah, I'm joking.
Thanks for coming, guys. Have a great podcast.
It's a hard one, eh? Like, it is a hard one. Yeah, as long as it, yeah. I don't know. I've been hunting for a long time, and I've had all types of dogs. When I lived in New South Wales, I had all hairy dogs. I wouldn't even look at a smooth skin dog, you know what I mean? Smooth coat dog. But when I moved up here, moved to Brizzy, started getting a couple, and I was like, oh, yeah, all right. Fuck, I don't know what everyone's talking about, because down there, hairy dogs are a thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then I just sort of weaned them all out. And I don't know, I just like nose, hard, drive, and fast. All the type of things you got to try to look for in a dog.
Yeah.
You know, like people are trying, like there's other people that, like these little blue dogs that I got now, people are trying to message you and they're like, oh, I got the same dog. Or, it's bully cattle. I'm like, it's definitely not the same dog, man. I said these dogs will do about 30 Ks quicker than what your dog will max out at. You know, you got to have all them aspects in the dog to be able to make a good all round dog. You know what I mean? And a strong point is it has to be fast. Like, you know, I want to run. I don't want to run at all, but I want to run 100 meters rather than 900 meters. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The good old my dog found that 2K. No, your dog hit it at 200 meters, and then the 1800 with it. And I find it so frustrating. People talk about that. It's just like
some of the funny things you see. Oh yeah, 2.3K. I'm thinking, fucking what a shit dog. That's the thing. It's the first thing that comes to my fucking head.
Yeah, no, you want them pulled up real quick. Last week I had Jamie O'Toole on, and he's got some speedy dogs, and I've been out there watching them, and holy smokes, they just motor on. So
one thing you got to have is speed, drive. And nose, like, and you can, hard. They got to be hard, but they also got to be smart. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. Got to be smart. Having the brain to back off if they're going to get flogged. Yeah.
I take smartness over hardness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd rather my dog be there at the end of the day than not be there. If you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely, mate. It's One, the vet bills, it's never nice. I've been pretty lucky. The old boys, worked in hospitals and stuff and does all his own stitching and stuff like that up. So we've been pretty lucky. But,
I'm pretty much my own vet too. I don't really, the vets don't really see me. So that's a good thing. That's one of the best things I've learned over the 20 odd years that I've been doing it. Fucking. You learn a lot, eh? Like, you learn a lot, you know. I've saved a few dogs for a few mates too, like mates that just walk away from them, you know what I mean? And you're like, nah, it'll be right, trust me. And then next morning they're there looking at you. You know, it's a good feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a great feeling. I am. So, mate, about your little blue dogs, because they've only come in recently, haven't they, in the last few years?
Yeah.
Because you've gone from your big dogs. I could try and find a picture. Where are we? So you had your big fella like them, and then you're going down to
Greyhound. But they're bully cattle, greyhound, whippet, kelpie. They got years ago. They took out their greyhound as well and replaced it with staghound. Would you believe? But it's an Ingham breed. It's a Jason Stanford Ingham breed. And it's probably not his breed. It's a lot of people's breed, you know. It's come from a lot of people, but they've put that many breeds into it to get it to the way they want it. And they're unreal. They that white dog there, that one on the left, old Addy. I back her over any dog that I've ever seen. And sometimes these dogs, if that old white bitch will always leave the tray first, but them blue dogs just smoke her through the scrub, and that it's just unbelievable to watch, eh?
Yeah, no, it's always good to good to see the different kind of breeds working, and especially up in NQ, you know, you've got your cane pigs, you've got your you know, your big river boars off the Burdick, and there's some serious lumps of hog there. It's just
I just sort of went into them because I got sick of backing off at when summer came in. I got sick of, you know, like them, I don't like thrashing me dogs, and that old white bitch there, she's got that much drive into that old white that she's cooked herself a couple of times. So now you sort of got to be right on the ball. And, you know, I'm getting old, you know what I mean? And I'd rather her lay in the backyard and watch me drive out with the two blue dogs that can handle it rather than, you know, lose her to that. I'd rather lose her on a big boy, you know what I mean? Her bad doing, you know what I mean? Her going out on a sword rather than her cooking herself, you know what I mean? I've seen a few dogs. I've had a couple of dogs cook themselves, and it's horrible, eh? Like,
nearly as bad as 1080.
It's on par, right? It's definitely on par with 1080 for sure.
Especially when you watch them stand up and they just fall back. It's just I know Boring Australia did a little video on it on one of their YouTube clips, and they talked about a good way to cool them down was take the breastplate off and drive around. And idiots cutting ears and all that kind of stuff doesn't always work. That doesn't work.
There's heaps of things you can do, man. Like, I've also saved a few dogs from overheating as well. Like, I used to be prone to be walking around with a camelback, man, with the hose, with the, you know, the shoulder hose of it. I used to cut the end off it, and I used to have it full of that rehydrate.
Because
when they cook that bad, it's cooking them from the inside out. All their organs start shutting down, and their jaw gets lockjaw.
Yep.
And they won't open their mouth or anything to drink. So I used to just fucking have that tube on standby if you're hunting somewhere, and I'd just pry their mouth open and put the tube down into their belly. So, and then I'd squeeze the bladder, so they'd be actually getting some fluid inside them.
Yeah.
But anything like that. Anything like that, like even like giving them red meat and stuff, like you can't, even biscuits is no good for them after they've been cooked like for a good few weeks. You need to give them white meat because it heats up their blood again, and you know what I mean? Up their organs. Yeah, heats their organs up.
That's a good one. White meat, there you go. I've never heard of that one. I like that one.
Yeah, white meat's the go.
Alrighty, so I got Jay Richardson's asks, do you have a YouTube channel, YouTube, Josh?
I get this message nearly every day. Do you have a YouTube channel? But man, I'm that flat out with work. I work away, I work in the mines, I work underground, I work away 2 weeks at a time. So those big bursts of hunting flat out and all that, that's me just putting in every day I can while I'm home, you know what I mean? The dogs, I usually like to leave the dogs trashed by the time I go home. Go back to work, so.
Back to work, yeah. No,
I don't have time. Don't really have time for it, man.
And if I had this conversation with someone yesterday, you don't enjoy it as much if it becomes about filming. Channel, so. You know, I'm pretty lucky. I'm going away this weekend. I got someone coming to film, and that means I can just focus on the hunt. And it's very rare to get, you know, if you start focusing on cameras, you know, if you've got a good bail going, of course, pull the camera out and get some awesome footage. But you do every now and then. You got a great hog. Oh, gee.
Yeah, I just chuck a couple of videos up on my story and stuff or my page just to keep everyone happy, you know. Just to keep everyone, you know, thinking, a few haters smiling.
So that leads me to the next one. How did Hunting Dogs Australia start, mate? Because 30,000 followers on Instagram, over 10,000 or 12,000 on Facebook, you know.
No, it just clicked in my head. I was out at Texas on the Demarac River there, hunting on a block I used to be able to go to there. And I just sort of popped in my head, and I was It used to be Wilco or whatever I used to have. Oh, Wilco.
Yeah, I did see that on your you know,
Big Cheeks Wilco or something.
Yeah. Well, I saw that on your Facebook, and I was like, oh, do I put it in? I'm like, nah, I'll just leave it. I'll just stick to the
me and Trav Burns were just smashing pigs. Like we had a heap of blocks out there, and yeah, we're just smashing pigs, and I was doing that many K's, and I just thought I'd just change my name to it. Hunting Dog Australia, and I was like, fuck, that's got a mad rhyme to it, eh? I just stuck, eh?
Yeah.
But yeah, ever since then we've just been upper. So it's been good.
Look at how it's turned out. You're selling merch,
well, that slowed down a bit because it's taken up too much of my hunting time as well. So
is that your own doing? You've just slowed down because you wanted to just, you know, have a break.
Yeah, man, I'm hopeless, you know, like I should have made a website and all that type of shit, but yeah, I'm just hopeless. Like, as you know, like you messaged me and I'll call you the Savvy. Now you'll probably see me out hunting or something, but
mate, if I could do that, I'd do that. So
I don't need, not blowing my own sword, but I'll work away to earn my money that I need, but I don't need to come home and keep working as well. You know what I mean? I'd rather go enjoy it with my girls, you know.
Yeah, and you see a lot of your stories. You are out with your your daughter and your partner and you're fishing or you know.
Yeah.
I love watching the clips with your daughter in the kid's seat in the buggy. That's just awesome.
Yeah, she loves it, eh? Like, yeah, nah, she yeah.
Trying to find it. Where is she? I had one near of her. I didn't want to put too many of her in because.
Nah, she's right. She loves it.
That's right. No, I can't find it. I've got over 80 pictures there. So then I stopped halfway through because I was not going to be able to make it in time. So Adam Ford. I've seen this bloke in action. Save dogs. It's out of control. Jay's saying thank you. And hey, Josh, Jamie McKenzie. All right, next question.
What about my mum just messaged me and said, stop dropping the F bomb?
Ah, fuck's sake.
You know me, mum.
It's all right, mum. Don't stress. I said, wait to the 7 minute stage, and he's all right. He's okay. Don't stress.
It's all good. She'll be right.
Okay, Maddie Boring Buster. I'd just like to know how people have come to you to using the dogs they use. So my question is always about dogs. How'd you find the style that you're looking for? You obviously talked a bit about just before, but how'd you find that style that you're looking at for, especially in North Queensland?
Well, the style that I had, I had an old Dane Mastiff bitch. Well, I had an old Tice Line. She was an old blue Tice Line Dane Mastiff bitch. I got her off Goo Amor as a pup. Oh, she was probably 7 months old. A lot of people that know Goo Amor, but yeah, I used to go do a bit of hunting with Goo back in the day because he was out at Forbes and I was in Orange. I'd go out there and we'd go get into a fair few. But when I moved up to Brizzy, when I told you I got rid of all my dogs, I said, fuck, I need another dog. Like, I'm going mad. And he sent me this dog and she was dog shit. She was rubbish. Like, I've never had a pig dog that was just didn't want to barb it. Like she was just that beautiful of nature dog that she didn't want to bar it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the old cocky where I used to hunt out at Texas, he had this real handy Arab and it got over me bitch and I was like, freaking hell, you know, we're out there fishing and we look back and I was like, fuck, they're out there knotted up them bastards. And I was like, actually that might not be too bad. And then that produced my black bitch, Nala, my old girl. She's 10 this year. She's 10. And if I could have five dogs of her, we'd be unstoppable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what breed was that, mate?
That was Tice Line, and it was Tice Line Dane Mastiff over an Arab. Okay. So it was Tice Line Dane. It was pretty much Dane Mastiff Arab.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
But in saying that too, like, she's fast, but she also is a bit too big for me, for my style of dog.
Yep.
But just the brains and stuff in her is unbelievable. Eh? Like, you don't, like, well, all my dogs, I don't really talk. I don't even have to talk to them to do what they've got to do or anything like that. But, she's proper smart. Like, like, you can just tell her, like, when she's leaving the truck, if there's a mob or whatever there, you can say, ball, biggest ball, and she's running off, and she'll just cut through them. She'll just sift them all out, man. I've got videos of just sifting them out, just bang, there he is. And she just pins her ears back and just nails him, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it's pretty cool to watch.
No, it's awesome. But, maybe you need a YouTube channel.
Nah, fuck that. Too much.
you do all right, mate. I got one more. I knew this one was a bit of a giggle. When you're bringing those blue dogs back to the Pine Run, that's from Pine Doggers. Hemi, I think.
Old Kimmy McNabb's been hounding me to come back down. Yeah. We used to, me, him, Jacko, and Chris Barrett used to hunt all the Macquarie River, a lot of blocks along the Macquarie River there. And they were catching bugger all there like a couple of years ago. Now, after all the rain, they reckon there's that many pigs around, that many big boars. They said they're just getting blown left, right, and center. Like, the dogs can't catch them, but like, the big fellas are just blowing them. And they just keep saying, come and bring them blue dogs down here. We need them down here to give us a hand. I said, oh, fuck. I don't know how they'd handle that nice cold weather. They're in a cooler and all over.
Too cold for me. It's
Yeah,
not for me. It's too cold. So,
I
got Bianca Pollard. She messaged me today, and she's got a bit of a pack of dogs going at the moment, and she's just hit me up with a question saying, where are we? I've already lit. No, hang on. Can you ask Josh what he feeds his dogs? Trying to get the best idea of what to feed mine. Do you have a brand? Room meat, dry food, veggies? What kind of food do you put in there?
Yeah, well, Enduro, full ball. I use full ball on my dogs for biscuits. Enduro are on board with us. They've helped me out massively. I don't think I'd be able to have the dogs I have today if it wasn't for Enduro supporting us. So yeah, they've helped me out a lot. But I shoot a lot of deer, and I shoot roos as well, and I shoot a lot of rabbits actually for me dogs. Only because they're a bit easier to skin and that. Yeah, a lot of deer, whatever I don't eat, they get a fair bit of it, you know. I've got a heap of deer on a lot of my blocks that I hunt, all along the river countries and stuff that I hunt. But I try to go one for one or two for one, you know.
Yeah.
Biscuits for a few days and then red meat for a couple of days and then go back. Try not to keep it all on dry food. You could imagine eating dry food all the time, you know.
Yeah, no, not very nice. Do you put any water in your dry food?
Nah.
I've heard people doing it, and it's just always it's an interesting when they do it. I just, you know, it's always good to see what people do.
That'd be swelling in their guts, Joe.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's already got a swell when it gets there.
We kind of touched on it before. How did Hunting Dogs Australia, you know, the process of it, how did that all begin, basically? So did you just put an Instagram page up and that was it?
Well,
it was
just it was just Wilco, and it was pretty much just bought, like, putting up good boars. And I was like, you know, I might change this to something cool, like something, you know, something that's not my name, you know what I mean? Something that's just people will get a little bit attracted to, and we'll just go from there. We'll just roll with it. It just rolled with it. So,
Fair enough. No, it's awesome. I've got another question here from Kai Marshall. When you're looking for a pup from a litter, what are you looking for?
Well, believe it or not, I always pick the runt. And a lot of people are against it. My father's against it as well.
Interesting.
And he's bred litters for many, many years. But yeah, I've always picked the runt out of the litter.
Yep.
That's just a thing I do, just because I like the smaller dog, more fight, more drive. They're always fighting to get a feed. They've been fighting since they were born to try to get a feed. You know what I mean? They're the ones that gonna drive, have the most drive. You know what I mean? Like that pup I kept out of my real handy bitch there, Addie, that white bitch. Addie would open the door because I had them in my. I've got a barn down the back, fully livable barn, and one room's not fully finished, and I just put them in there, and she had them in there under the aircon and all that.
Yeah.
And she would grab that run, and she would walk over, and she would open the door, and she'd go stash it way out the bush.
Yeah.
And I'd have to find it and hear, listen to it, try to hear where it was, and I'd have to find it to take it back in for a feed.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty full on. But that's the one I kept.
Yeah. Oh, and bet you she turned out all right.
She will. She's the one that's. They're only 7 months old now, but she's the one that's having a good hard track now. So
very good, mate. I see you. You hang around Frog Dog a bit. You've done the boar hunting competition at Cooktown.
Geez, have a go at his scone there.
Oh, geez, poor Frog Dog. Sorry, Frog.
Bit bent, eh?
Apologize, Frog. I did not even look at that.
What happened, Frog?
apologies, Frog. I'm really sorry. I didn't even.
No, know. that was a pearler of a time. It's amazing what he's done for that town.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah. Oh, can you tell us a bit about that, mate? Because it's become just humongous.
That was huge. You know, like that. I've never seen so many people at a pub in my life. Eh? Like, there was people just squashed in there, all packed out. There would have been over 300, maybe 400 or 500 people. I wouldn't have a clue, but
there
was that many people there. They would have raised that much money. You know, like, it was good. Like, you know, just see all the prizes get handed out. Like, it was just good to see all the little Aboriginal kids, like, get their name called out and walk up to get their prize. You know what I mean? Mean the world to them, you know?
Yeah.
Just for going out and catching a pig, like, doing what they love, you know? Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it's amazing how big that is up there for him and Nick. So,
because I spoke to him ages about it. I've had Frog on the podcast, but it was before I was doing the live stream and like this kind of style. And he was mentioning of doing it, and it's now becoming a yearly thing, and it's just huge. It's just massive.
That's the first comp I've ever been to. You know, I'm not really into. Well, I wasn't into that until I went to there. You know, I wasn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't really. You know, I was always like, I'm not going to drive 8 hours to go somewhere. I don't even have blocks there or out near there. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, that was a good weekend. Like.
Did you get out for a hunt that weekend, mate?
Yeah, we did after we did the comp. We went up the Cape.
Yep.
Yeah, towards the Gulf a bit and got into a fair few pigs, me, Shorty, and a couple of other fellas there. It was a good few days.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that now. Because you had ball trawling on. That's right.
Big old ball trawler.
I see if I can find his picture. He's there somewhere.
Big mustache on him. Look.
You got Dan and Nat from Hunting Australia, Frog Dogs, yourself, and Boran.
And Jerome down there. Jerome came up from down Newey with Mustafa there.
So it looks like a cracking weekend. I actually wasn't too far from there. My brother and I were out hunting a block on the Gulf at the time. We thought, we couldn't afford to drive all the way back in and all the way back out. It was just too much mucking around. So we missed it, but I kind of regret not going because would have been good just to have a chat to everyone. And you know, and that's the beauty about these hunting competitions these days, that you kind of get to meet, you know, meet everyone and meet new people. And
yeah.
I know Bo Balls and Barra, he was
there. I met him there. I met him there. Yeah. He's a good lad. I met heaps of people there, actually.
Yeah.
Heaps of people that I follow on Instagram and all that type of stuff, and they follow me. But I just never met them before, you know. Like, just bump into them.
Yeah. No, well, that's the beauty about the social media. It's it could be a great thing, you know. You can go and talk to people like, you know, Nat and Frog and all them, and you know, including yourself. And
yeah.
You know, obviously Nat and Dan do YouTube and they get a bit of money out of it and everything, but it's always a good thing to have. It also can be a total pain in the ass too, so you got to be careful what you do. So,
yeah. It was high fives all around that weekend. It was good.
Yeah, that's what you want. So, mate, I've had a couple more questions there, but I want to know how you handle these big hogs, mate, when shit hits the fan or it all starts. You know you're on a good peak. What kind of the adrenaline's pumping. What are you grabbing them, or you shooting them, or you're going in and sticking them, or spear? What's your process?
Nah, you can shove the spear up your ass. That's just yeah. Well, that's just stupid, eh? The old spear. Good way to especially if you got bales. You can't spear if you got luggers. Yeah, no. You're a bit mad if you do, but
yeah,
if you got bales and you're spearing, I reckon that's pretty stupid, you know what I mean? Good way to put yourself in hospital, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Stand beyond the old team.
I just like asking people because, you know, it's always you get the wannabe bloody heroes and they're going in this spear. So that's good.
You get the old heroes there trying to influence everyone, but, it's not cool, eh? I don't believe it's cool. It's not.
No.
It's not how it goes down, but anyway.
So how do you do it, mate? You walk in and stick them and – or you shoot them, because I've seen a bit of both.
If I just got them little blue dogs, they they lug up probably 40 kilos, you know, that they'll bale or whatever, anything bigger than that. But I'll just stick them pretty much. But if I've just got them two, I just roll with me 44 mag and I'll just plug them.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I was going to ask you what you use, but 44 mag, that'll get the job done.
Yeah, I was using a 30-30, but. Yeah, too heavy, eh? And too long, you know. Yeah. And I've just downsized to this, and it's awesome, eh? Like them dogs hold a hard bale for like a long time too. A pig. Once they pulled it up, that pig won't be going anywhere. You know what I mean? But they're close to it. You know what I mean? So I can get right into it. You know what I mean? So 44 does me well. No, it's not too bad.
Now, I've seen on one of your stories one day you had might have been that fella on screen, actually. He was a good hog. And I think it might have been him, because you drove it. From the looks of it, your buggy was right there. And, you know, you'd walk in and the dogs were in tough country and you know, you walked in, you plugged in with the 44 and I think that's –
that one there was with me and my old man, that one just there.
Yep.
that was just near my house here. I got a few blocks around home, and I said to the old man, "So grab a." It was at Christmas time too. I said, "Grab a couple of beers, Joe. We'll go over here and see if we can catch a pig." And he loves going over here because, you know, don't have to do the old drive, load up, and all that type of shit. So buddy, I just grabbed a few beers, went over there. First creek, dogs jump, went to the next creek. Was watching them on the tracker. It was the afternoon too, 5 o'clock.
Yep.
So I seen them working in that creek, and I was like, no. The dogs started to come back across the flat to me, and I said, no, there's a pig in that creek for sure. They don't go this far. It would have been probably 700 metres to that next creek where they ran to. I said, no, there'll be a pig in there. They just haven't picked him up again once they got in the creek. Got him back up, drove up inside of the creek, so the wind was coming out of it, and they just floated off the back. And, we drove into it, big, thick fella like that. It was unbelievable. Me old man, that was 132 kilos, that one. But, That other one you're talking about, that's that one-eyed fella, I think. It was up there before.
Yeah.
He had one. Is that the one you're talking about in that real?
You shot him, and all I saw was your blue dogs. Just was awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah. It would have been that one-eyed fella that
I messaged you. I actually said, I sent a comment saying, well done. That's in the one eye pig, yeah.
Yeah, it had one ear. It had one ear and one eye. Like it'd been sideswiped by a car, like a truck or something. Like it just, I don't know. Yeah, strange, eh?
Yeah, well, they're tough.
He was a wild pig, that one.
Severely pissed off, probably.
He was pissed off.
I got a. You've already answered it, but Regan's Lads asks, "What breed are those blue dogs?"
They're a heap of breeds, eh? Them dogs, yep. But yeah, I think the main breed of them is bully cattle, greyhound, kelpie, and a bit of whippet. Yeah, so I didn't even know, but yeah, Al Rogers. I was talking to Al Rod, you know, Al Rogers from Aussie Tracker Repairs. I was talking to him up there at that pig hunting comp, and I was telling him about these dogs, and he said, "Charles, look," and I showed him. He was like, "Yeah, I know the dogs." That's one of my males went over there many, many, many years ago. I said they got whippet and everything, and I was like, "Oh, really?" He's like, "Yeah, I know where they've come from." So it was good. It's good to. Good to see and talk to someone like that, and put the wind up on frog dogs. If they don't swing, they don't get on the back.
old frog,
he's a good fellow. He's a legend, eh? Like he knows his shit. He's been around a very, very long time doing box pigs all through the Gulf and all that. He's been doing it longer than what I have, so. But yeah, you know he's a funny fella. He's one of the better fellas I've ever met. To be honest, he's a good fella.
No, I like I said, I've only had a chat to him through the podcast, and it seems like a top bloke. And I'm going to try and get him on down the track. I'm booked out at the moment with podcasts coming up. So I'll probably do the next season with him if he's got time. But see how he goes.
Yeah.
He's a busy man too. So.
Yeah.
What age do you start your pups, mate? That's from Caleb James.
It all varies. I started them blue dogs a bit younger because they seemed like they matured a lot, and they didn't. And I knew they didn't. They weren't going to be running in there and lugging them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, usually six to seven, 8 months old. You know, you can sort of see the dog and the. Yeah, you can read the language of the dog. That's why I've been a couple of hunts. I've split my two pups up just to concentrate on one, and you know, it's a lot better for that dog in the long run.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It sort of rises to maturity a bit quicker. You know, one leads the other one astray when they're together. But
it's a great. Great kind of working out that how everything works with dogs, and I know if you got dogs around the same age, they kind of muck around for a while. So we always used to have one in the pen, or just leave one at home if they just give you the shits, you just leave one at home and keep working the other one by itself, and then swap them over next time. So I've got a few other questions here. Here we go. Michael Marshall, what's your favourite time to go hunting? Dawn, dusk, or night?
First thing in the morning. Yeah. I like to. I do a lot of hunting on my own, and I'm always up at probably 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Get to me blocks by three. Hunt till probably 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full gutted. Those full gutted pigs are a lot easier to catch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's right.
That crisp, cool air is a lot easier on the dogs. You know, there's a you can take the best dog out on a real hot day, they can smell fuck all. Pig can be in the same spot. You take it out there in the morning, that crisp air, that scent will be in that crisp floating fog air.
Yeah,
they'll float and catch it, no worries at all. But
the air's heavier. Yeah. All that kind of thing. So it's always good for dogs. And I always was told, pigs eat the majority at night time. And your full moon and stuff. Who likes running with guts full of food? It's not going to.
Yeah. You get all your mobbish pigs there during the day type of thing. But you get the odd one if they're still out a bit late or whatever, you know what I mean, or they've come out a bit early. But yeah, you know,
that's very good. Here we go. Pickstick, what sort of work are you doing on the ground, Josh?
Oh, I'm a jumbo operator.
What is that?
like a big drill rig, I support all the ground and then drill all the face, like the end of the tunnel. I drill it all out to profile into a certain pattern, and then we charge it with explosives and fire it, and then we just keep continuing on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nah. All over my head. I'm I'm not going underground anytime soon. It scares the shit out of me. I like being on land. So, talking about not land, but mate, you do a bit of fishing. Tell us about your fishing adventures. You've caught some stonkers.
Yeah, I'm definitely a better pig hunter than a fisherman, but yeah.
Well, mate, you've got to meet a trout. Holy shit, that thing's massive.
That was full on, eh? Catching that, you know what? I don't ever get sick, and I was up the front of my mate's big boat. I think it's 48-foot or 50-foot boat. He's my neighbour. He only just lives up the road, and he hit me up. You want to go fishing for a couple of nights? I said, yeah, righto. And I hit me mate up, Brody Frizzell, me mate. Then I said, you want to go fishing? He goes, yeah, I'll come. I said, we're going for 2 nights. He said, yeah, righto, too easy. On the piss, flat out, and I end up getting half crook, see? And I was in there laying in the bunk in the aircon, boats going around like that, and I just come out, see everyone. Everyone's sort of dying in the arse. I come out, had a drink, just cracked a beer. I thought, fuck it, I'll get back on it. Just cracked a beer. One of the rods over in the corner just went, I quickly ran over there.
Yeah.
Here we go. Pulled this meter trout up. Everyone's like, you're fucking kidding me.
Oh, what?
straight out of bed, cracked a beer, and here he comes, big orange fella, straight to the top.
So I'm trying to get him for you. Hang on, here we are. He is a stonker.
Yeah.
That is fish of a lifetime.
He was in like 250 meters of water as well.
Oh, wow.
He was lost. He was long way from the reef. I think
he was going
on a mission, the big lad.
So what'd you catch him on? Live or just a deadie?
Nah, just bait, yeah.
Just wow, jeez. That's what a fish. That's unreal.
He's gonna go on the wall. Yeah, Mackay Fish Molds is gonna be doing him up, so yeah. He'll look lovely on the wall.
Definitely, that's some pretty colours. Did you eat him, or you too scared?
Yeah, fucking oath. We ate him. No cigar in him, Joe. He's too far from the reef.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. Yeah. Good point. All right, mate. We'll go for a quick ad. You look like you need a refill. So
I do. I need a piss proper.
You're right. I'll run some ads, and get back to it when you're back. So,
Roger.
All good. No stress.
See ya.
Out in the streams, to walking up mountains looking for bucks, to chasing big hogs, or just going to the gun range and sight your rifle in. Make sure you're wearing high country hunting gear. Also, a huge available range from stubby cooler stickers to hoodies to cattle tags to caps. Make sure you check them out, high country hunting gear. So be sure to get your gear and be chasing at high country. Country hunting gear.
To outfitters, to hunting athletes and professional hunters, and you want the right camo, check out Safari Supply Co, the most comfortable gear on the market.
All right. Well, Josh was away. I do need to do some housekeeping. So I do apologise. You know, I can't help the man. He's got to go to the toilet. So, and also I've got to add another video in for the ads because I'm being a very busy lad. So
Are you looking to boil your crabs up? Make sure you measure them properly. Or you just want a pot to boil your heads out to do some Euro mounts? Well, the girls at Ironbark Fabrication have got you sorted. They got the pots to boil, the boilers to boil. Be sure to order from Megan from Ironbark Fabrication to get your order in now. Special requests are available, and she's always happy to have a chat, talk about what she can do to help you. So make sure you check out Ironbark Fabrications. Check out Facebook and Instagram, and also TikTok. All right, so I did mention last week on the podcast that I've been just spruiking a few groups just for helping each other out as hunters. My main thing was talking about Eureka Tactical. Now, these guys do some great, great articles, and I do believe the owner is also doing templates to help out people with, writing letters to members of parliament and so forth. So it's something that, if you're ever wanting to do that and you want to do the right thing for the hunting industry, probably need to go and have a look at that. Eureka Tactical, I shared a few of their posts on the podcast and also on my Facebook and Instagram. So check them out, guys. They do shirts and stuff, but they've got a bigger mission. Their bigger mission is making sure we don't lose this. Josh has got kids and, he wants his kids to go hunting. I've got kids and I want to make sure we can go hunting in the future. So it's something we all need to probably look at, especially if someone's writing a template and doing all the hard work for you, especially with certain things like the duck hunting and so forth. But pig hunters definitely are always on the agenda. So doing the right thing is obvious. So the man is back. We'll get him. How'd you go, mate? Got a refill? very good, very good. So, mate, I got quite a couple more questions for you. I won't keep it too much longer. We'll be on for an hour. What's your dream hunt?
I do it every time I go out.
great answer.
I don't know, eh? Just there's no real dream hunt. It's just watching the dogs go. And like I went yesterday and I got 14 pigs. I left home at 1:30 in the morning and went to one block and got three real handy boars. One would have been 100 kilos, one would have been 80, 90 kilos.
Yeah.
And then probably the rest of them, I got six on that block. Then I just went up a bit further and went onto another block there that I can hunt. And I got another eight there. So, it's just good. I just love being there on my own and just doing it, just watching everything. And I believe when you're on your own is when you have your best time and your best hunts. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree with you there. I couldn't agree more. I've got Jamie O'Toole asks, do you use thermals?
Here he is, the old thermal hunter. Nah, don't use thermals, don't really use spotlight. Oh, unless I go with Frog and go on them real big blocks that he takes me to, and or some of my golf blocks that I go to, or like some of them real big ones where you put a pile out and come hit it a few days later, you sort of need the spotty sometimes, eh? I'm nearly ready to take my spotlight off me buggy, but because I don't really use it, it's been draining me battery flat out in me buggy. So I'm one of them old school fellas that drives around all night just with me headlights on and my buggy and wait for the dogs to go. So
that's great. I love that. And
Jamie doesn't
need his thermal or his spotlights, but I know he uses them because he's boxing most of it. So it was just a good question. I thought I've never seen you put anything with the thermal up, so I thought I'd better ask. So.
Nah, I won't be buying one, mate. In my country, you can't see 2 foot in front of you, let alone fucking with a $3,000, $4,000 thermal. You know what I mean? It'd be a waste of money for me. So
yeah, second a tree goes, a bit of foliage or grass, you can't see anything. So
yeah, So yeah, right. Mind you, talking about thermal, there'll be some good dogs come 3-4 years' time. They'll be all cage dogs. Drop them out of the box.
Very true. Very true.
Everyone, hit me up if you need a good dog. I'll sell you a couple.
Starting price $5,000. There you go. Brody said, not going to lie, I'm off you for catching that trout. I'm not going to lie.
That was his rod, was it? That was me. Yeah, it was his rod. I walked straight out. He had enough. He crashed out, and I just rolled straight out and just wound him straight in. Thank you very much.
Beauty.
Thank you, mother, for the rabbits.
and Mangro to Brigaloo. What a man. Loves young dogs. Come up. We'll have to organise a hunt, catch up this year. Mango to Bangalore. Got some great products there, guys. So head over on his Instagram. He's still on Instagram, isn't he? So still there. Check his stuff out. Got some great caps and some clothing gear there. There's my shout out for the day. Where are we? I'm trying to doing a million things at once here. It's never a good idea.
While you're thinking there, have a look at this.
What do you got there? Hang on. I'll go back to you.
I thought I'd bring this. I told my missus to go get this out of my gun safe here earlier while I was talking to you.
Was it a gun?
Can't even open the fucking thing. No.
Was it a clock, mate?
Yeah, you know the old school watches they used to wear, the old fellas?
Yeah, yep.
What are they called?
Pocket watch. Pocket watch.
See the little gun, see the little man with his dog and his gun on the front?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's 100 years old, Joe.
Wow.
That's me, that's my great, 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 4 great grandfathers ago.
Wow.
All our names are on it.
Oh, beauty. So you just pass it down.
Clancy Wilcox. Stanley Wilcox, Daryl Wilcox, and Joshua Wilcox. That's how long the old hunting scene's been going on in my family.
Wow, a bit of history for you.
That's it's close to nearly 100 years old. But
there you go. Yeah. All right, I've got another question here from a comment below. Territory Muggles, what got you into using balers and why?
Just the heat. Just the heat and got sick of not going hunting in summer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 95% humidity here, and you're just like, I feel like I'm not even going to put the dogs through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, one of them nights, you know, dog can be on a pig for fucking a minute, and they're done. They're done skis, especially if they're in long grass or in a gully or something. That they're proper done. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But them balers, you know. They can be there for 20 minutes. That's the difference, you know. But in saying that, like, yeah, them dogs have, like, they're never the first off the back, but yeah, me old white bitch Addie, she's always the first off the back. Like, anyone can vouch for it. Like, I'll go along 100 km on the highway, she'll just roll. She'll let you know when you're going past pigs in the cage on the back.
Yeah.
Like even on the highway, you know, and she just starts barking in it. But you know, she's always the first off the back. But them little blue dogs, they'll always finish it off, like, because they're just that much quicker and that much agile. You know.
Yeah.
You know, they've always got 100 meters on them, 150 meters on them. You know what I mean? They're big dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
a second row trying to catch a fullback, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Territory Mungle's gone again. How'd you go about training your balers? Because that's a good question, because you did have luggers, you didn't have your bigger set. And you've gone across. How'd you go about that, mate? What was that process like?
Well, at the start I only had that one, and she pretty much was baling, but then she was starting to try lug too much, and I had the zapper on her, and I was just vibrating it every time she would go near the pig.
Yep.
And I'd vibrate it every time she'd go near the pig, and then she just started doing circle work around the pig, barking. And then if she went in too much, I'd give her a little tickle, and then she just picked it up from there.
Yeah.
So, and then, but he, old Jigger, he just followed her. He just did everything she did. So it was pretty much, it was pretty easy, eh?
Yeah. No, it's those little dogs, they just, they've got the instinct, eh? And they just,
yeah, it's so much easier to train than them, to all the bigger dogs. So much easier. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying, mate. We had a bit of everything through the years, and, we've all got Kelpies or, a baler of some sort, similar to Aubrey, but we've just got the smaller dogs now, just because it's just
even them two pups I got, they're just frogs breed cross my breed, they're just arrogant cunts, probably like their owners, but you can stand there, come on. No, they won't come to you to jump up or anything like that on the buggy or anything, but you get in the driver's seat, they'll just walk over and they'll put their legs up or they'll just jump up themselves, They just won't, just trying to be a little independent bastards,
Yeah, which is always good. The independent ones are always the ones that go off and catch them. Yeah, and I've always loved it. You hate it around the yard, but it's...
Yeah.
They're shitheads around the house, but...
Bloody hell, they are.
We've got a question here from... I don't even know who put it in, actually. How'd you go about getting access to where you are? How'd you go about getting access when you moved up to Townsville? Did you do a bit of door knocking, or you use your trade?
Yeah, I did a bit of door knocking, and everyone pretty much said no just because of what I looked like, pretty much. You know what I mean? But a couple of places said, yeah, you're all good, no worries, mate. I told them who I was and what I'd do, and, I'd just be doing it with me missus and daughter, stuff like that, But
yeah,
a lot, my missus is pretty well known around this, northwesterly areas, and her family, coming off cattle station and that, they're pretty well known, and a lot of people know me and her, and it makes it that little bit easier, gives them that little bit of trust, knowing that they know you. When you rock up and they don't know you from a fucking bar of soap, and you're just rolling in there with pig dog cage and all this shit, they're like, nah, mate, sorry, see you later,
but, also helps when you're the little dogs in the back too, and they look and they go, where are the dogs?
Yeah, that as well. And if you're trying to get on blocks and that, you don't rock up with the dog. You don't rock up with dogs in your cage or anything like that. You rock up with a couple of loaves of bread or in your wagon, you'll have a loaf of bread and a carton of milk. Or even crabs or mud crabs or some prawns or something like that. You don't just rock up and say, hey, can I come hunting here? With a mob of dogs in the back of your cage,
Absolutely.
Now, there's a lot of trust. There's got to be a lot of trust from cockies to let you on up in North Queensland anyway, in around areas. I've caught heaps of poachers on roads going through my blocks and stuff like that. I've caught heaps of people, and I still know there's people that do it. I nearly caught some yesterday. I seen them, in the broad daylight. And my buggy just wasn't quick enough to catch them,
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's probably ridiculous.
Probably lucky I only had the 44, not the 20, the 33.
I know what you're saying. My brother hunts the Gulf, and he said the same thing. He said the amount of poachers. And the thing is, he ended up knowing half of them.
Yeah, that's the shit part, man. That is the shit part. There's a few grubs around here that I've taken hunting and stuff before, and that road only goes somewhere, mate. And I know every little inch of my block, so you'll be doing well if you get away from it. So
it's very sad. It's so frustrating. I've got one more question here from this person. What's the most rewarding country to hunt? What's your most favorite country to hunt?
River country. I reckon the river country. Yeah. Crop country's good, but at the end of the day, it's a little bit easy, but it can be hard, but it's a little bit easy. But I just like me proper hard country that dogs got to work proper hard to catch whatever you're catching. You know what I mean? I like rolling in, not knowing what they've got. You know what I mean? I like hearing the hit up and just going, fuck, that's good. That's a good boy. That. And just rolling in there, and you can smell him on the way in, all that type of stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the river country and cattle country, eh? Just river cattle country. You can cane country and all that. That doesn't do anything for me, eh? Like none of that type of stuff does anything for me. Like, yeah, you get good pigs, you don't ever get them big monster tusky bad brawlers in there. Like
you definitely got some of those big fellas in there. You got some big hooky boars in there, so
yeah, you get them in the cane and all that. You get them big young fellas that get real big, but and the crop country. But yeah, you get the odd fella that's got big tusks and all that. But
yeah,
I like the trophies, hey.
Yeah, now look at that. Look at those hooks on that fella. Jesus Christ!
That was with frog. Me and Frog Dog got that one.
Yeah. Now you got you must have a wall of just trophy hooks on them. So, talking about your country, I grew up in Ingham. And my first hunting experience was the old boy taking me to the Burdekin River, and we'd walk along it. And you know, I'll never get that out of my head. Just walk along that Burdekin River, catching lots of pigs during the day. And the old boy used to say to me, "You're going to walk, and you're going to walk a long way. So if you're going to come, you just shut up. You're going to do it." You know, this is the days before buggies and you know, the Burdekin country's like it's hard going on vehicles, so you just walk the river, and I'll never get I'm 32 now. I'll never get there in my head. It's just such a great area. I love it, and it's a nice area. I got another question here from Jesse. Have you ever thought about getting into boxing them, putting them in the chiller?
No, I don't want to I don't want to have to outdo him for a job. You know what I mean? Nah. No, I thought about it. I spoke to him about it the other day, but nah, too much effort.
Is there a chiller in Townsville?
Nah. Oh, there is, but you got to have them back by daylight and all this type of stuff. And it's not really a chiller. It's for dog game meets and stuff like that. I'd have to drive the charters to get the good best price type of thing. Yeah, bit of a mission for me. So
yeah,
nah. I'll let you get them all, Jesse.
Well, they need to do something I don't know how to go about it, but they need to look at doing some sort of, you know, the guys that are going out there regularly, you know.
Yeah, like the dogs, they need to make something like you know, you get money for the scouts and stuff.
Yeah.
A bounty, they need to be able to do something like that for pig hunters, you know what I mean? Over the last couple of years, the numbers have gotten triple, you know what I mean? So
I know places I don't know if it's still happening, to be honest, but when I was at King Roy Way, they were doing tail and snouts collection.
Yeah,
I don't know how it worked. I do believe you put the tail through the snout and then you'd tied off or something. So if you had that proof, you get that proof, you get that $10 per pig. So you know, $10 per pig's better than nothing. So
if you get that's $140 what I got yesterday.
Exactly. It's fuel money.
Pays for me fuel.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and see that's what they were doing at King Roy Way, and that worked out pretty well for those guys. I just believe they're just paying for their fuel, so it's just some sort of incentive. We've got new estimates came out recently of nearly touching 29 million pigs in Australia, which is more than the humans. So serious. There's that pig there.
There's that one of you, Joe, there.
He's a nasty.
Have a go at him. Go at him.
Yeah. No,
you can't even walk behind me. You can't even walk through that shit. It's all tiny up. thorny thorns, like 20-30 mil thorns in the bastard. So I reckon he might have got mowed down by a truck or something, I reckon.
Yeah, I could be right, eh? Because he's a serious lump, and just look at his whole side. Yeah, he's been smoked by something.
Yeah.
Another question here, Jack Brook. How does the buggy go with fire and the long grass up north?
Yeah, good. Hey, is it this bastard? Well, actually, it actually catches a lot. Now, me buggy, we went away. Me and Jack and a few other fellas went away. Me and Jack were cruising along, and another couple of boys, to be honest, in their buggy, we'd been hunting for 8 hours that day and come back. I said, fucking geez, I can smell smoke. And we pulled up this swamp, see? That's funny, proper true yarn this. I said, can you smell smoke? I jumped out real fast like that. Jack said, yeah, fucking hell, something's burning. I jumped out and went to the back and looked underneath. I said, I'll be fucked, this cunt's on fire. And I said, get out. And the whole buggy just went like that. Because I was on the left side, see? The whole long grass and that just went, like, lit up. I couldn't even see the buggy. And I've got my hands in there grabbing the fire extinguisher, trying to put this fire out. Yeah. And I ran to the back of the buggy. And I said, get me dog off the back. Get me dog. Oh, Nala was going, howling like that. And because I tied her on with rope, we lost one of my clips off the back there at the last creek. I said, get me dog off. And Jack, my mate's probably like 150 kilos, right? And he's pulling this rope. I said, just fucking cut it. And he's trying to cut this rope. Bulls got me old dog off. And I walked back and I said, let it burn. Don't worry about it. She's gone. And then next minute, I just see this buggy do this big wobble like this. He's jumped in. I've looked through the flames and this big bastard's in there like that, holding onto the steering wheel, trying to start it. I said, it's going, you dickhead. Put your foot on the accelerator. And he put his foot on there. He was like Ghost Rider. Just drove off. And I said, drive it straight in the swamp. And he just went over the bank like that. Straight in the swamp. And there was nothing even wrong with me buggy. It was just the grass underneath it. Like me buggy, there was one little bit of melted plastic on it. And that was it. So there you go, Jack.
Holy shit.
It was pretty full on. I thought, far out, we've got a long walk home, Joe. This is gonna be shit. But as soon as he took off like that, I was like, that's actually not even on fire. Yeah, it was just the grass underneath. And apparently one of my brake lines at the back had a real big cut in it. So it must have been just leaking it, and over that period of time, like 8 hours of hunting, it would have been that hot, you know. Like, other than that, that buggy's, I'll put that buggy through hell, man. Like, it's going everywhere, that buggy.
What is it, mate? What kind of buggy is it?
Can-Am Defender.
Yeah, okay.
I probably wouldn't get another buggy. Probably maybe a Honda, maybe. But yeah, no, I like me Can-Am. Everyone's off the belt situation and all that, but at least I know how to change the belt. If you do a gear cog, you're fucked, you know, on them Hondas and that. Yeah, no good. You can't fix it, you know what I mean? But
Well, mate, we've hit well and truly over the hour mark, and I appreciate you coming on. Is there any other wild stories or anything else you want to mention before we wrap it up?
All good, eh? Well, I've got a few there, but I don't want to disappoint anyone.
It's all right, not a problem. But get you on. I'm just thinking while you're taking your piss off, we should get you on one night with Frog Dog. That'll be good.
Yeah, there'll be some proper true yarns on that little one.
that'll be awesome. So I'll try and line that up down the track. Maybe next season, get you and Froggy on. That'd be awesome. So, thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it.
All good.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome having a chat to you.
No, all good, mate. Thank you.
Lovely. Thanks, mate. Just before we go, this will be my last one, last podcast for on Facebook. Tried dealing with the monetization kind of situation, and it's just not happening. So I'm just going to stick to the YouTube live stream. I'll still put everything on Facebook, and you can get links to go over and watch it. So big thank you to Josh for coming on. Massive thank you to him. Hope you all enjoy. Make sure you subscribe, like, and share, and tell your mates about the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating, and yeah, we'll see you next time. We've got a couple of YouTubers coming on next. I've got Real Loose Adventures. I've got Robert Lambrough from, he's a deer hunter up in Victoria, and I've got a couple of other pig hunters coming on. So, yeah, I'm booked out, guys. I'm not doing anything next week. I'm having a break. I'm going hunting this weekend, and, yeah, I'm going to go kill some. So thanks, guys. Have a good one.